more Cyber Week deals at OfficeDepot.com. Go ahead, you deserve it. Office Depot, Office Max.
Taking care of business.
Offers end 12/2, while supplies last.
Championship weekend is upon us as far as college football is concerned. We will take a look at that, talk about it, get your reactions to it, and talk about it with Adam Rittenberg live from Indianapolis coming up here in just a little bit. Also coming up on the program, Tiger Woods. He is down in the second round at the Hero World Challenge. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more, including the pick six coming up later on. Your chance to win a $30 gift card to Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub in Iowa City. All that coming up on the Gym Class Friday edition, KGYM. Going over draft strategy. Hi, everyone. Welcome. Gym Class coming your way here at 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Kyle Mann, our producer here today. The Dream Team will be making picks coming up later on. I can say that now that we have that fat one-game lead, can't I?
Sure,
I can go with that. So we'll have the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 coming your way. It's championship weekend getting underway tonight. The Pac-12 championship game will take place between Stanford and USC. And looking forward to that one coming up tonight. Big 10 coming up tomorrow. We got the big ACC game tomorrow night between the Miami Hurricanes and the Clemson Tigers. And we've got UNI football coming up tomorrow as they head to Brookings for the second time this year. They had a lot of success the first time. Can they get in the checkerboards twice up there at South Dakota State and win and advance? That'll be coming up tomorrow. We'll have it for you on 1600 AM starting at 1 o'clock, this 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Mark, a busy day. Everyone just enamored asking the question, where were you when Tiger Woods took the lead today? Good afternoon.
I was on my couch watching him do it. And you're talking about the Hero World Challenge, also known as Birdies in Bahama.
Except for Tommy Fleetwood, and then it's called You're Getting Married in the Bahamas.
Tiger Woods improves one stroke from yesterday, shoots a 4-under par 68 to land at 7-under par for the tournament in this very shortened field of 18 players. But he is tied for fifth. Five back of Charlie Hoffman, who threw a 63 on the board. And I said birdies in the Bahamas because that's exactly what it is. Almost every player in the field today under par.
And by a wide margin.
Yeah.
Brooks Koepka's just there getting a tan. along with his girlfriend, I'm sure.
Well, it's more encouraging news for Tiger Woods, having watched him most of the day. He started off very hot. He eagled the ninth hole to get into the lead, and then kind of cooled off. He had a couple errant shots and misjudged the speed of the greens quite a bit.
Which was weird because he was just putting it amazingly. He had 11 putts through nine holes, the first nine holes. Didn't hit it particularly great, but he was just making everything he looked at, and that's why he was leading at that point.
Key now is he's got two more rounds in the tournament. Despite the fact that it's an 18-player field, he hasn't been in a 72-hole competitive event for a very long time. So we'll see if he can continue the good play. But up till now, I think it's pretty encouraging for Tiger Woods.
Yeah. You'd like to comment? 319-366-1600. We'll talk with Adam Rittenberg coming up in just a little bit. Can I say that this is the understatement of the week from the Tennessee Chancellor, Beverly Davenport? Quote, it has indeed been a difficult week, unquote. That's like, it was just a small iceberg we hit from the captain of the Titanic at this point. Tennessee's athletic director, he gone earlier today. Still no coach at Tennessee. Now they're talking about Philip Fulmer, Mike Leach's name being bantered about, which just brings up all kinds of fun fun things to think about. Will he anchor the boat in the Tennessee River outside? He can do that, you know.
He can.
He's got the boat. Guys and, well, Todd and Brent, I think, talked with him on the high seas on his boat. But this thing is just getting more and more bizarre. You got Jimbo Fisher moving from Florida State to Texas A&M.
Why?
Because Texas A&M probably has between facilities, talent, and stadium, nobody better in the world of college football at this point than Texas A&M. And
Fisher had kind of fallen out of favor with some of the fans,
right,
too, right?
Absolutely. Right. And he was fed up with the fact that they weren't keeping up with the Joneses. Think back 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the state of Florida was just dominating everything. Miami, Florida, Florida State. Then USF came in, UCF came in. They started to take some more recruits. Florida was keeping the guys down south in the state of Florida. You didn't have the arms race that you have now as far as not your stadium per se, but just the facilities on campus. Jimbo Fisher wanted a football-only facility, and Florida State was in the planning process, but they were still at least 2 to 3 years away from getting it. He was losing recruits to UCF, USF, and oh, by the way, the rest of the football world knows Florida has athletes now, and it's not as lucrative, I think, to be at Florida State at this point.
Well, now that job comes open, and that's a fairly plum position, I would think. Florida State,
absolutely
great tradition. Why not be in Florida? As far as Tennessee goes, Philip Fulmer being named athletic director right now, whether it's an interim or a permanent position, remains to be seen, but Fulmer has been blamed in some circles for perhaps meddling in this whole process. I mean, share this with you. I talked to our friend Tyler Ryder this morning.
Oh, did you?
And, of course, he's at the Knoxville station now. Been very active week for him and the station down there. And let me just say that I think there's a couple boosters down there who have kind of muddied the waters as well. So, yeah, it's an absolute mess, and Tyler would agree with that. But where it turns, I don't know.
By the way, Philip Fulmer will now be the full-time athletic director.
They've named him full-time, huh?
Yes, for the Tennessee Volunteers. You can make worse moves than that,
Why didn't he coach the football team?
Stand by. He hasn't taken the podium yet. He hasn't taken the podium yet. By the way, you know, and we hope to have John Crant back on at some point once he sets down roots and whatever with his new job. But I got to throw this out. You know, the world of Las Vegas, and usually Vegas knows what they're doing. Golf's a little bit different. Did you know what Tiger Woods's odds to win the Masters are as of right now at 3:11 Central Time on December the 1st?
Probably about 15-1.
15-1.
Is that right?
You know what they were yesterday before he teed off?
In the hundreds.
To win the Masters? 67-1.
Hmm.
He has dropped from 67-1 to 15-1 now to win the Masters in 2018.
We got notification of our golf draft in January.
Somebody's going to take
Who's going to take Tiger? (laughs) 319-366-1600 is our Hurtin & Stocker Jewelers text line. And, of course, our phone line. You mentioned Kyle Mann, our producer today, across the glass. Visit Hurtin & Stocker in downtown Iowa City or online, HurtinAndStockerJewelers.com. 2649. Jimbo has a way easier path to the playoffs at Florida State than he will at A&M. And I would agree with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the ACC is coming on, though. I mean, Clemson, Dabo Swinney, and the Tigers are not going anywhere anytime soon. If Justin Fuente stays at Virginia Tech, I mean, they're going to be coming on because he's just too good of a coach not to. But now he is rumored for Florida State. It's now your move, Tallahassee, at this point, because Willie Taggart is a Florida guy. He's a Bradenton native. He knows the state inside and out. And Oregon's going to have to pony up now a lot of cash to keep him in Eugene, I would think. He's got to be number one as far as the hit parade is concerned, in my opinion anyway.
Who's left for Tennessee?
Mike Leach and Philip Fulmer at this point. That would be my guess.
Miles, no.
I'm just surprised that no one is going after Les Miles.
Ryder doesn't believe T. Martin is a viable candidate, according to people he talks to down there.
No, not yet.
T. Martin at USC right now.
As coordinator.
And as Tyler described it, this guy never has to buy a drink in Knoxville ever again after leading Tennessee to the 1998 championship. Why would he come back and enter that hornet's nest that is Tennessee football right now?
Why would Scott Frost go to Lincoln? It looks like that's going to be the case. 319-366-1600. Of course, in the midst of all this fun, the Big Ten decided to start their basketball season tomorrow. Iowa will entertain Penn State. That'll be on the BTN tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And it'll be interesting to see. Penn State, a much improved team from last year. They did drop their game at NC State, but only by 7. They did jump out, I think, to a 9-0 lead in that particular game. It's a Penn State team, as far as the numbers are concerned, that doesn't wow you at this point. They've got really good player in Tony Carr, who's averaging 21 points per game right now and is shooting 58% from three-point land at this point, and Iowa's got to find a way to stop him. It's a much better Penn State team. They're trying to make inroads as far as the Big Ten is concerned. They think they can get an upper division finish this year in the Big Ten. And in order to do that, probably no better place to start than trying to knock off the Hawkeyes tomorrow in Iowa
City. Yeah, it's an interesting stretch with Penn State, and you start the year and look at it, Penn State, and then add Indiana, and then Iowa State. Things have changed with the Iowa basketball program in terms of inconsistency. Fran McCaffrey talked about that today at his news conference, and unless Iowa gains, 40 minutes of consistency, it may be a sort of a long season, but I haven't given up on this team yet.
I haven't either, and we'll see. Tomorrow is a very important game. Would you almost deem it a must-win?
No.
On December the 2nd? By the way, happy 55 degrees on December 1st out there, everybody. 319-366-1600. Enjoy it while it lasts, because the shoe's going to drop on Tuesday, the way it looks anyway. Iowa then goes to Indiana. You thought about maybe 3 weeks ago, after Indiana State came in there and rocked Indiana by about 25, you thought, well, maybe Iowa's got a shot to go 2-0.
And they still do.
Still do, but now Indiana's playing better. Almost knocked off Duke at home. Played them very, very tough. Looks like Archie Miller is getting things sorted out over there in Bloomington. Penn State comes in with just as good a pedigree, probably, as the Iowa Hawkeyes do right now through the non-conference. And what's really going to be interesting is Thursday. And that game means, to be honest with you, and Fran McCaffrey, I don't know if he would admit this, but you got to think on the fact that there's no way in the world they're even thinking about Iowa State until Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
In the, I say in quotation marks, the old days, we'd be talking about Iowa and Iowa State. We'd have about 5-6 days ahead of time to go over that game. And now you've got Iowa with 2 conference games even prior to thinking about going over to Ames. It's not going to be a lot of preparation. And Iowa State's going to be licking their chops. They have Northern Illinois on Monday. Probably it'll be a nice hors d'oeuvre before they get ready to take on the Hawkeyes.
McCaffrey was asked about that today. And how much of a difference it will be. And he said, yeah, it'll be different. But when he was at Siena, the head coach at Siena, they played a similar schedule. They played a tournament and then 2 conference games and then maybe a non-conference. So at least Fran McCaffrey's used to it. The players, I don't know that it makes a whole lot of difference. Bouncing back and forth between non-conference and conference. But
there's no Siena State, though.
No.
There is one big difference in that scenario, and there is no Siena State. 319-366-1600. As we talk a little college football, a little bit of college basketball, and a little bit of golf with you as well. Speaking of college basketball, the interesting DJ Carton was in town last night. The Bettendorf guard, who was only a junior, and as far as the state of Iowa is concerned, is more than likely right now the top coveted recruit as far as men's basketball is concerned. And put a big show on last night, helping Bettendorf beat Cedar Rapids, Washington. But he's gotten Iowa State, UNI, and now you got Indiana, Purdue, and others after this young man from Bettendorf.
6'1", 180 pounds, and 24/7 Sports has him listed as a four-star point guard, which tells you a lot right there. Wisconsin has offered Creighton, Illinois, Iowa, among others. And you mentioned some of them that...
I believe USC is also in there.
Yeah, indeed, and the list is growing. So this is the player that, you know, you want to close the borders on the state. This is the guy you got to have, right?
Well, you got to think. Either Iowa State or UNI. Now, UNI's got A.J. Green coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably, I don't think they have officially backed off on Carton, but I think the pursuit might not be quite as it once was.
Wieskamp from Muscatine already in the fold for Iowa?
Correct, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm not throwing Joe Wieskamp in there because he's already signed, sealed, and not yet delivered to Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes. Patrick McCaffrey is also delivered to the Hawkeyes at this point. But interesting. And then, Trey Hutchison's stock keeps going up. And I was really impressed by the Linmar Lion Jr. last
32
night.
32 last night against Kennedy. Yeah.
Outside, inside, driving, dunking, just he was doing everything. Playing defense, very impressive last night. 319-366-1600. Let's go to our friend Eugene here on the phone lines here on this Friday. Hi, Eugene.
Hey, guys. You know, I normally lost talking about basketball, but I have a bit of an opinion. Mark kind of brought up that maybe Penn State isn't a must-win, but you start looking at the end of the year, and we're looking at the difference between an NIT bid and possibly an NCAA bid. I know we're talking way off in March, but you have those two not very good losses in the Cayman Islands, and you don't want to start with a loss here, possibly one, and have a streak going, and I'm just going to hang up and let you guys talk. Thanks.
Thanks, bye. Eugene. Appreciate it.
It's a great point. You know, if Iowa can get off to a 2-0 start here, no matter what it does against Iowa State, I mean, 3-0 this week would be terrific, but it can really set you back if you lose one or two of the Big Ten openers. No question, Eugene.
Iowa's putting itself squarely behind the eight ball for the second straight year.
For the NCAA tournament.
They're going to have to probably top five, top six. And the Big Ten didn't do itself any favors in the Big Ten ACC Challenge either.
Three wins.
And so you've got that to overcome. Iowa is now right back on that. And again, we're putting the cart ahead of the horse here. There's a lot of basketball to be played. Who knows? I mean, Iowa could come out and finish top four in the Big Ten and have no problem getting into the NCAA tournament. Conversely, they could also finish eighth in getting into the NCAA tournament. It is kind of on the outside looking in at this point. But the loss to Nebraska-Omaha last year, and then also the losses in the Cayman Islands, it would help a lot if I went over to Ames and beat Iowa State, though.
Of course it would. The RPI is not good right now.
No, in the 200s at this point. 319-366-1600.
As long as we were talking about high school basketball, I want to give a standing ovation to Steve Bergman, who has won his 500th game at Iowa City West last night against West Des Moines Dowling. And Bergie, as you know, Scott, is very an unassuming guy. Doesn't really invite the attention.
Nope.
Some of the Iowa City West folks made sort of a deal out of it last night. But you think about this, and he's got 545 wins overall. And I've been gone 20 years from the Gazette. And he was already veteran back when I was covering back in the,
sure,
in Berge, the 90s. You
sure,
know?
Berge appreciates that.
But he's averaged 18 wins a year at West. Granted, he's had some terrific players.
And has more this
and
year.
And has more this year. Now, that's a pretty good resume.
Yeah, and I echo your sentiments. And there's no more fun guy to be around than Steve Bergman.
Self-deprecating. Is Steve.
Yeah, and Berge, you know, he'll be the one, he'll play the aw shucks card a lot. You know, yeah, we're not good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you are. And you're a good coach. And, yeah.
Best, maybe that's one key to his success.
Best to Berge, who won his 500th at West High last night. All right, 324. We're going to take a break, come back. Don't forget to go to kgymradio.com and answer the poll question. And, oh, by the way, Big Ten play tips off tonight with a couple of games as well. But what's our poll question?
It is, which title game will have the biggest impact on the college football playoff landscape? Four choices, the ACC, the Big 12. ACC, by the way, Clemson and Miami. Big 12, TCU and Oklahoma. The Big 10, Wisconsin and Ohio State. Or the SEC, Auburn and Georgia. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway, as always, sponsor the poll question. You can find them at on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, behind the Taco John's and next to Home Depot.
Reminder that the gym is partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization has a fundraising event, charity coming up, we want to help you get the word out. Submit your information to us, and if your event is selected, we will be sure to back it up and put it up there on the website at kgymradio.com. You can click on a Community MVP to get things started. And the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Without Alex today, Rob Howe going to be sitting in today. And they're going to be talking a lot of basketball, a lot of football as well. In addition to the fact they have the final chance for you to win tickets to see Foreigner at the U.S. Cellular Center, along with the Dave Egger Orchestra. And that will be Thursday, March the 29th at 7 o'clock that particular night. Tickets went on sale today, and you can go right now to Ticketmaster.com or the U.S. Cellular Center box office. It's going to be a great, great show.
This just out from Darren Revelle.
Brett Bielema.
Brett Bielema was scheduled to be paid $5.9 million by Arkansas. He will now be paid $11.8 million in the buyout. That's subject to Bielema, you know, a reduction if he gets another job. But Bielema won't have to clip coupons for very long.
No, I think he's going to be just fine. I think he's going to be just fine out there. All right, we're going to take a break, come back. Adam Rittenberg is going to join us from Indianapolis. And we just a little bit of inside information that we conducted this interview earlier, prior to what happened with Tennessee and with Jimbo Fisher. So Adam had TV obligations with the Big Ten at the championship game, so we had to do this earlier, much earlier today. And just to let you know that that is the case. So when we don't ask him about Jimbo Fisher and what have you, you will have a little bit of background. But a lot of good stuff from Adam Rittenberg, and we'll have that for you coming up next here on KGYM.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. Smart263.org.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-222-9133. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-222-9133. That's 800-222-9133. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-222-9133. 800-222-9133.
Back on the Gym Class, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM as we come your way here on this Friday and the eve of all of the college football championship games coming up. And to talk about that and all things college football from ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg joining us. And Adam, it's the greatest time of the year. They say Christmas is, but I think this weekend is as far as college football. And boy, we got some dandy matchups with all kinds of implications. You can almost call these quarterfinals this weekend, can't you?
Yeah, we can, Scott, and it really is the first time in a while the championship weekend has had this type of meaning. I mean, obviously, there's games that teams have to win to get into the playoff, but I've actually been disappointed with this weekend until this season because, you know, most of the matchups were lopsided. They were hold-serve type games. They were not games where both teams could really win, and that's certainly the case this year with pretty much every championship game out there, even like the Pac-12, which doesn't have a whole lot of playoff implications, but two, you know, really good teams that are playing. Same with the American game with UCF and Memphis, but certainly Big Ten and SEC, ACC, Big 12 all have playoff implications on the line.
Adam, are you on board with where the college football playoff rankings sit right now?
More or less, Mark. You know, in my ESPN power rankings I do every week, I had Oklahoma at two and Auburn at four, but I can live with Auburn because of the wins they've had recently. I think the committee, you know, is certainly impressed with their overall profile and what they were able to do both in the Alabama and the Georgia game and the momentum that they've built since the beginning of the season. So yeah, I can live with it. I'd like to see Wisconsin a little bit higher than number four. I think they've deserved it with their undefeated season to date. But the bottom line is if they win their game, they're going to be in the top four. Same with Auburn, same with Clemson, same with Oklahoma. If one of those teams loses, it gets interesting, especially if it's the Big Ten or the Big 12 game.
Well, I was just going to ask you, what is the chaos game, what is the chaos scenario that people will be complaining about and or loving coming up on Sunday and Monday?
Yeah, I think the utter chaos scenario is if Clemson were to lose, if Oklahoma were to lose, and if Ohio State were to lose, all three of those teams. Because, you know, you would assume Miami would get into the playoff as the ACC champion. And then regardless of if it's Georgia or if it's Auburn, I think the winner of that game is in and the loser of the game is definitely out. But then it opens up an opportunity for Alabama as an at-large team, which is currently sitting at number five. It would create a debate with Ohio State as a two-loss Big Ten champion with two blowout losses, including one to Iowa, as you guys know. And then it would also bring in Oklahoma as a two-loss non-champion from the Big 12 that beat Ohio State definitively on Ohio State's home field. So that's the scenario if you're looking for chaos and really an idea of how the committee's thinking. That's what you should be rooting for.
Alabama, they are... You're either for them or you're against them at this point. The scenario has been done before where a team not participating in a conference championship has made the Final Four. I still think Alabama is one of the best four teams. I guess your thoughts about that, and will the Tide be in there?
You know, I think they are one of the best four teams, but I think if the top four win this week, they won't be in, and they wouldn't deserve to be in. But if one of those scenarios opened up, I think that they would deserve a spot in there, you know, even ahead of an Ohio State as a Big Ten champion, because Alabama has looked like a top four team most of the season. Some people would say, well, they haven't played the schedule, but you know, they played the schedule that's in front of them, and they've looked like a top four team until the Auburn game. Whereas Ohio State has better wins, but they haven't looked like a top four team on a consistent basis. They do some weeks and they don't other weeks. Whereas Alabama has only had one week where it really hasn't looked that way. So I think Alabama, you know, would deserve a spot. I feel okay with it as an at-large, but we'll see how the committee ends up going with it, and certainly they place a lot of value on conference championships.
And, of course, the big story this week is in Knoxville, Tennessee, and the search for a head coach, and we all know what happened with Greg Schiano. First of all, what have you made the whole situation? And second of all, did you consider Schiano damaged goods up until this week?
Well, yeah, you know, it will always be looked at, Mark and Scott, as the search you don't want to emulate. This is really setting a low bar for how to mess up a coaching search. And, you know, not just the Greg Schiano thing, but, you know, now, you know, moving on to certain candidates that are all saying no, a guy like Dave Doran, who's done a decent job at NC State, but doesn't have credentials that are a whole lot better than Butch Jones, the guy you just fired at Tennessee. So, I just know that John Curry, the athletic director, even though everybody wanted to fire Butch Jones after like the first or second loss, he did not want to fire Butch Jones. He wanted Butch Jones to have every chance possible to keep his job, maybe because he understood that this is going to be a hard search for Tennessee at this point. I don't think he could have ever imagined it being as difficult as this, especially with the Schiano thing. But he did not want to make this move, and you know, they're kind of paying the price for it right now. I don't think Greg Schiano is damaged goods, Mark. I think that he was a guy, along with Joe Moorhead from Penn State, that I was told, you know, the coordinators likeliest to get a Power 5 job were those two. And I think that it just has to be a different situation. Tennessee fans did not want him as their coach, and they conveniently used some information that was not at all substantiated to use that against him. I don't think every other fan base that might get Greg Schiano is going to do that. So I think it'll be a spot for him, whether it's in this cycle or the next cycle, but it's certainly an embarrassment and one that just makes everybody look bad.
Yeah, Adam, and you mentioned Moorhead. I love Mississippi State's hire. I think he is a star in the making, and I think Mississippi State is not going to miss too much of a beat going from Dan Mullen to him.
They won't, Scott, at least next season. I think the great thing for Joe Moorhead is that he steps into a very good situation. The one thing with Dan Mullen, even though it seemed like this was always going to be the cycle, if he wanted to move, he'd have to do it this year. But one thing that definitely gave him pause is that he might have his best team next year. And so that's now Joe Moorhead's team. And Nick Fitzgerald, who, you know, had an unfortunate injury in the Egg Bowl and had surgery, but should be fine, you know, that's going to be his quarterback for Joe Moorhead. I think he'll thrive in Joe Moorhead's system. I think the question will be what happens beyond next year, because you know, Dan Mullen and Joe Moorhead are both guys from the Northeast. The difference is Mullen was in the SEC before. He was at Florida. So he understood the landscape already before he took the Mississippi State job. Now, it seems like the fans there are really embracing him, and the more cowbell and all that is already starting. But it's still unfamiliar territory for Joe. I think he's a smart coach, though. He's a charismatic guy. He'll hire a good staff, and they'll still be able to keep their presence in Mississippi and finding those diamonds in the rough that made Dan Mullen so successful with the Bulldogs.
Adam, are you giving UCLA a W for its hire?
Yeah. Okay. I'll give them a W. I'll give them an A+. I'll give them any high grade you want, because UCLA, to be able to get Chip Kelly out of this cycle, when you see what's happening at Tennessee, you're seeing what's happening at some of these other schools, it's just incredible. I think he's going to do well there. I don't know if he'll do as well as he did at Oregon. I think it's hard for anybody to replicate the type of success that he had with the Ducks. But, you know, for UCLA, it was more than just getting Chip Kelly. It was just to show everybody around that program that, hey, we want to be great in football, because that's been a question people have asked. It was a question Rick Neuheisel asked after being fired. He's a UCLA alum, and he said it on the way out. Hey, does this school want to be great? Do they want to invest in the program? Well, they finally built an on-campus facility. this year, which was long overdue. They fired Jim Mora and paid an eight-figure buyout to get rid of him, which a lot of people thought they wouldn't do. And then they go and hire Chip Kelly. So those three things tell me, hey, we're all in as a program. We want to beat USC, and we want to win the Pac-12 for the first time since the late 90s.
Our friend Mr. Alford will love that. That UCLA wants to be a football power again. Adam Rittenberg joining us here as we talk college football here on the Friday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Let's get to the Big Ten championship game. The unbeaten Wisconsin Badgers taking on the Ohio State Buckeyes. And I've fallen in love with the Wisconsin defense. I really think the Badgers are going to win this game. Do you agree, or do you think Ohio State's the real Ohio State team will show up this week?
It really could go either way, Scott. I did pick Wisconsin. I mean, I've seen them the last 2 weeks, and you know they can run with just about anyone. I wrote about this earlier. Is that everyone has this impression of Wisconsin? They're big guys, they're strong guys. They play power ball. It's all about the running backs and the tight ends and the linemen. But watching their defense live against Michigan, which has elite athletes. And then against Minnesota, which doesn't but has some speed, they can run all over the field. And I don't think Ohio State's athleticism is going to be a major advantage like it was, say, in the 2014 Big Ten title game where they ran Wisconsin off the field. So I think this will be a really good ball game. I think the key for Wisconsin is not to turn the ball over. That's not just Alex Hornibrook, but also Jonathan Taylor, who's had a bit of a fumbling issue. But Hornibrook avoided an interception last week against the Gophers, and if he does that again, I really like Wisconsin's chances because their defense is going to give Ohio State all sorts of problems. We've seen this Ohio State offense stop and start all year. They couldn't get it going against Oklahoma's defense. They couldn't get it going against Iowa's defense. Well, Wisconsin's better than both of those teams on defense, a lot better. And that's going to be a tough chore for JT Barrett and the Buckeyes on Saturday.
Jamie Pollard and Matt Campbell put to rest very quickly any chances of Matt Campbell considering any other job at Iowa State. I think a general question for you, Adam, in your experience, do you run across coaches, say like a Gary Patterson at TCU, that are just very comfortable in their situation and don't really aim any higher than where they're at?
You know, at times. I think this is, again, a little bit different situation than Gary, but one that was very good for Iowa State to be able to keep Matt for at least another year or two. It shows, again, great commitment to the school, to be able to hold on to him and extend his contract. Is Matt Campbell going to stay at Iowa State as long as Gary Patterson has stayed at TCU? No, I don't believe so. I believe he'll move on eventually. But I think this definitely sets Iowa State up for success in the next few years with the recruiting and development that Matt Campbell has done there. I think it needed to be restructured, this contract, to be honest. Not just for him to get more money and for his staff to get more money, but the buyout, it was a real problem for him as far as wanting to move on eventually. So that's another element to watch out for here that I think if he leaves, it's only going to be to a place where he feels like he can win a national championship. But that buyout was definitely a problem in the initial contract.
Mm. I know you're in Indianapolis, but if you could choose one other place to watch a championship game, Adam, where would it be?
You know, I might pick the Big 12. But it's hard to go against the SEC championship, though, this week with Auburn. Auburn is just such a fascinating team, guys, because, you know, early in the year, they looked so bad. I mean, you know, even in the games they won, they weren't overly impressive. But you know, all along, I thought if Jarrett Stidham, the quarterback, could turn it around in the offensive line, that they would have a chance to do special things. Because I heard so many coaches praise Stidham in the offseason, and look at where they are now. You know, big wins, definitive wins over both Georgia and Alabama. Their offensive line has completely turned it around. Kerryon Johnson's been great. Stidham's been great, and now they go against Georgia again. So I it would be tough to turn down Atlanta, but I would be either there or the Big 12 game.
I think I'd pick Atlanta. I think Auburn and Georgia is just going to be fun. I think it's going to be a war. You got two fan bases that are very passionate, obviously, but also within very, very safe driving distance. And I got a feeling that thing might be special coming up.
Yeah, I think it'll be a closer game for sure than 40 to 16, which I believe was the result the first time around. And Kirby Smart will have his guys ready. You know, Auburn's a little bit banged up. You know, they're coming off of the Iron Bowl where Georgia's coming off the Georgia Tech game. So they're a little bit of a fresher team. I just have a hard time going against the better quarterback in this game. And with all due respect to Jake Fromm, who's done a great job as a young player, Jarrett Stidham is playing at a different level right now, and so I'm leading with those Tigers over the Bulldogs.
Adam, have you given any consideration to National Coach of the Year? Is it a Paul Chryst? Is it somebody else? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you look at some of the Conference Coaches of the Year selections, and that usually gives you an idea who could be the National Coach of the Year. I think if Paul Chryst can go, you know, 13-0 here. And get into the playoff, he would merit very strong consideration. I think Mark Richt at Miami deserves very strong consideration. He was a choice for ACC Coach of the Year this year. I don't know who won the Pac-12 award just yet, but I know Matt Campbell won the Big 12 and justifiably so for Big 12 Coach of the Year. But I think it's probably Chryst or Richt that gets the national coaching honor.
Yeah, depending on how things play out. Over the weekend. Should be interesting. And well, enjoy Indianapolis. Enjoy the games. And we will talk to you soon, Adam. Always appreciate it. Thanks for the help.
Okay, thanks, guys.
You bet. Adam Rittenberg joining us. Read his stuff at ESPN.com. We'll take a break, come back, have more of the Friday edition of the Gym Class after this on KGYM.
The Ford year-end sales event is in full swing. For a limited time, get $1,000 cash back on top of 0% APR financing for 72 months on a full lineup of 2017 Ford vehicles. That's Ford, America's best-selling brand. Celebrate the season with exclusive holiday offers like 0% APR financing for 72 months, plus 1,000 Ford credit cash across a full lineup of Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs. Best selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for 1,000 finance regardless of down payment on cars, F-150, and SUVs. Not available on Ford GT, Fiesta, Focus RS, Mustang GT 350, 350R, Raptor, or Super Duty. Take new retail delivery from an authorized Ford dealer stock by January 2nd, 2018. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details.
Meet the Christmas shopping crowds this holiday season and start your shopping at Siegel's. Get jewelry at 40 to 75% off retail savings. This sale includes our entire stock of new and estate jewelry, diamonds, watches, tennis bracelets, gold and sterling. No interest layaway and Synchrony financing available. Visit our family-owned and operated store located on First Avenue, one block south of Town and Country Shopping Center.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
All right, thanks to Adam Rittenberg for joining us here on the Friday edition of the Gym Class KGYM. Monday, it's bowl wrap-up time. The bowls will be announced on Sunday. We'll know the college football playoff four. We will know the New Year's six. We'll know the destination for Iowa State. We'll know if UNI advances, and we'll talk about all that with Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. That'll be coming up on the Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Coming up on 3:47, the panel is assembling. I think Mark sent the signal out, and we'll have Todd with Alex's picks coming up. Sean's going to join us as well. And Kyle, the red-hot Kyle Mann, as far as picking is concerned, will be joining us coming up as well.
Conference championship games on the docket today. We'll remind you of our poll question at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Which title game will have the biggest impact on the college football playoff? Would it be Clemson and Miami in the ACC, TCU and Oklahoma in the Big 12, Ohio State, Wisconsin in the Big 10, or Auburn and Georgia in the SEC?
Go ahead and vote. And we encourage you to stop by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast as well. We also encourage you to tune into the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn in absentia today.
Kuhn's not here, so it's the Todd Bromwell Camp show today.
What about Rob?
Well, he's not Alex Kuhn.
No, with special guest appearance by...
He's cooling his heels in the office right now.
Ah, okay.
Trying to figure out whether he regrets getting himself into this mess.
Don't. No.
I don't want to tease everybody here, but I've never been more proud of the show open than the one that's going to run today before I hit the air.
You've had some good ones. This ought to be really good.
I spent at least 3.5 minutes putting this one together. That's how much effort went into it. But that's neither here nor there. We got some games to pick.
We got Sean ready, and
Kyle gets to bat. Hey, Sean. Kyle gets to bat leadoff here, and it would only be appropriate to start with the game. The reason that Alex is not here, he's in Orlando for the AAC championship game between Memphis and Central Florida. UCF is a touchdown favorite. Kyle, I think, was 5-1 last week.
2 weeks in a row.
You guys buy him a nice Christmas present for keeping you in this thing. Kyle, bat leadoff for us here. Central Florida, touchdown favorite.
Well, I looked at the box score for they've met once already, and it just didn't look right. So I reached out to Alex Kuhn, and I asked him why things are going to be different this week. And he said basically Memphis played the worst game of the season last year. They're definitely not going to lose by 7. I feel really good about Memphis keeping it close.
I promised Alex that I was going to take Memphis here as well. Scott Frost is all but headed to Lincoln, Nebraska, and I think that's going to be a big enough distraction that Central Florida is going to mail this one in. Stripe up, and as Alex would say, go Tigers go. Alex, by the way, is taking Memphis.
What?
Sean?
Guys, I know you've watched me watch my Cardinals, and I kind of go crazy when I'm watching a Cardinal game, but Alex lives with me. Wow. That man, he goes completely crazy when Memphis is on. So if I went against his Tigers, he wouldn't like that. So I'm definitely going with Memphis.
The strategy is working so far. I don't know if you heard me talking about this last night.
I heard.
Trying to wash a game off the board here.
Go Tigers, but I'm picking UCF.
Oh,
excellent!
Oh. I'm sorry. I got to go with my head.
And Memphis is playing really well, and the 5 turnovers in that first game, I think, Kyle. But UCF at home. I'm sorry to go against my colleague, but I'm going UCF. And by the way, on the text line, Cyclone Jim. At least Sean can't pick against the Cyclones today.
Cyclone Jim or Cyclone Tim?
Did I say Jim?
Oh, okay.
Cyclone Jerry.
We got cyclones coming out of the yin yang.
Does Iowa State play basketball or something? I can go against that.
Not till Monday night.
All right. The Pac-12 championship. This game's tonight, right?
Yes.
Pac-12, Stanford, and USC. USC is a 4-point favorite over Stanford. I've got to go first on this one. Stanford, ever since it played Iowa in the Rose Bowl, has not been the same animal. I'm going to go with USC here and keep a close eye on T. Martin's offense with the Trojans. Alex, by the way, also likes USC. Sean?
I'm going to go with the Trojans as well.
I see a trend developing. USC has not performed well in big games, and Stanford is getting better and better. I'm going to take the Cardinal.
I'll go with you, Scott.
Yeah, I'm actually going to have to go with Stanford on this one. Bryce Love might find some room to run.
All right, game number 3 is the ACC Championship at the Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina, or Charlotte, Iowa, not to be confused. Clemson's a 9.5-point favorite over Miami. Alex gets to start first. He is taking Dabo Swinney and Clemson.
And Sean's up next.
I'll go with Clemson.
I'm not only going to go with them, I think they may win this outright, even though they are beat up. But I'm not a big Clemson buyer this year. I'm going to take the Hurricanes. Rocking the U. I get the turnover chain.
Miami's so up and down, you know, but I think they want to be here in this game. So I'll take the 9.5 points. Give me Miami.
I don't know quite how confident to feel about this because Malik Rozier really did not look good in that loss to Pitt. But 10 points in a conference championship game is kind of a lot, and Miami's going to get a couple turnovers most likely. I'm gonna go with the Hurricanes.
We have Separation Saturday cranking up right here, don't we, Todd?
No, young Kyle just said 10 points. Mark, would you like to educate him just how important that half point is? You want to remind him about the hook there? It is Separation Saturday. I might as well. I was going to take Miami, but I'll take Clemson. That way we've got two games where we're split 3-3.
Oh, geez.
How about the SEC championship game? No Alabama, but we got Auburn as a 2.5-point favorite taking on the Bulldogs of Georgia, Sean.
Well, everybody is falling in love with Auburn. I think Georgia wins this game.
That's a good pick, Sean. That's a good pick. Uga wins this one.
Absolutely.
Oh, I like how Auburn's playing. Give me Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn's been through a lot, and for a while I thought there's no way they can keep it rolling, but they're the hottest team in football, and I'm not going to pick against them. Auburn.
I'll take Auburn here as well. Now we go to the Big 12 championship.
Alex
is with Georgia. My bad. We go to the Big 12 championship game. Oklahoma is a touchdown favorite over TCU. Remember, if TCU wins this game, it could get both schools into the New Year's Six, which would bolster Iowa State's bowl chances. Scott.
I have a feeling Baker Mayfield's going to do something stupid like try to punch a horned frog and get bit or get what they spit in blood in your eye or something like that. TCU got trashed by him the
first
time.
Where did you go to? What biology teacher did you have in high school?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Can't even remember. But TCU defense, they're going to come through in this one. Give me those 7 points. I'll take the Frogs.
Miss your Dukes.
I think Baker Mayfield's going to be a little upset that Mason Rudolph was named the Johnny Unitas Award winner, the top quarterback in the country. Be highly motivated here. Give me OU.
Maybe he shouldn't do things that he does on the field and off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just said I'm not going to pick against the hottest team in football in Auburn. I'm also not going to pick against the best quarterback in a conference championship. I'm going with Oklahoma.
I agree with the guys on the Russillo show with Alex Kuhn that Oklahoma and TCU are going to play a close game, so go ahead and give me TCU and the points. Alex likes Oklahoma to win by more than a touchdown. Sean?
I'm going to go with Oklahoma. And I just really, really, really hope Iowa State has to play in that Camping World Bowl.
I do, too. Well, it'd be a fun game. It'd be a good matchup for them.
Neat looking t-shirts, wouldn't it? Camping Bowl. Jesus.
Game six.
You can make an argument that it's better than the Pinstripe Bowl, but we won't do that right now. Game six is,
it's
of course.
The name. I think it's hilarious.
Is, of course, the, well, Outback is a fast food restaurant. It's not a fast food restaurant, but Oklahoma or Texas, no, we're wrong conference. Ohio State and Wisconsin are playing in Indianapolis for the Big Ten Championship. Ohio State is a 6.5-point favorite in this game, and our tiebreaker this week will be the total points scored in that contest at Lucas Oil Stadium. And Mark Dukes, the oracle of the Southwest side, deep in thought.
Let's see, conference championship game, Urban Meyer, JT Barrett's been there, done that, all the pressure on Wisconsin. Give me Ohio State.
Points. You can't pick 63. That's Alex's tiebreaker.
21-13, it'd be 34, right? Okay.
Mark made that sound pretty good, but with that Ohio State team, all I know is that they gave up 55 to Iowa, so they've got that vulnerability in there. Wisconsin's got the defense and the run game to control the game. I'm at least going to take Wisconsin to keep it close, and I'll say 41 points.
The best description that I saw for Wisconsin came a couple weeks ago when they said Wisconsin is a boa constrictor. They don't kill you outright. It's not a fast death, but they eventually squeeze all the life out of you. No one wants to see Wisconsin win this game. I'm going to take the Badgers. I'm going to feel really bad about it when they get rolled by Ohio State, but I'll take Wisconsin, and let's just assume here 54 sounds like a really nice number. Alex also takes Wisconsin. He's going with 63 as his tiebreaker, Sean.
I'm I'm going to go with Wisconsin in this one, and I think they actually win pretty easily.
Tiebreaker?
What's the tiebreaker?
Total points in the Big Ten game.
So it's 46.
Scott Unash.
I know it's Honey Badger, but I'm just going to say Badger.
Okay.
Badger takes what Badger wants, and this Badger defense wants a Big Ten championship.
Tiger shot a 69 yesterday. You kind of have to take 69 as the tiebreaker, right?
One.
Oh. Am I on an island that game?
Yes, you are.
You are.
Perfect.
Worked for me on the punt thing. Of course, I didn't need it, but I'm taking one again.
All right. We need six callers right now to pick one of these six guessers. I mean prognosticators. I mean experts. And whoever did the best job picking games this week is going to allow you to take home a $30 gift card to Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub on Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The number, 319-366-1600. Callers 1 through 6 right now. Good luck. Caller number 6, congratulations on receiving Sean.
Can you ever, well, let me put it this way. Can you give us a hint as to what you're opening?
Well,
will sound like
the biggest story in college football today.
Okay,
the Tennessee job mess.
Rusty singing Rocky Top.
Oh, it's close. You better text Rusty. You know what? You text Rusty, and you tell him listen in because I think he'll enjoy it.
Okay.
All right. Stay tuned for that. That's coming up right around the corner. Sean, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. Stay tuned to the Todd Bromwell Camp Show on KGYM.
The first big weekend of high school basketball starts up this Friday night on KGYM. Friday at 7:30 on 1600 AM, it'll be a barn burner boys basketball non-conference matchup between Cedar Rapids Prairie and North Scott. Meanwhile, on 107.5 and 106.3 FM in girls MVC basketball, it's 5A number 3 Iowa City High hosting Cedar Rapids Kennedy. That's Friday night basketball presented by First Federal Credit Union. Boys hoops, North Scott at Prairie on 1600 AM and Kennedy at City High. Girls NBC play on 107.5 and 106.3 FM.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. After 8 years in Tallahassee, including a national championship, Jimbo Fisher resigns today as Florida State head coach. Fisher will now get a guaranteed 10-year, $75 million contract to be the head coach at Texas A&M. ESPN's Chris Lowe reports former Tennessee coach Philip Fulmer is now the school's acting athletic director. He gets a 2-year contract, and after less than a year on the job, John Curry is out. Fulmer now has to hire a new football coach. The Ole Miss football program will be banned from the postseason again next year and have to reduce 13 more scholarships. That ruling from the NCAA Committee on Infractions, Ole Miss self-imposed a postseason ban this year and cut 11 scholarships. Panthers defensive lineman Charles Johnson gets a 4-game suspension for violating the NFL policy on performance-enhancing substances. He'll be eligible to come back for the last game of the regular season. Halfway through the Hero World Challenge, Charlie Hoffman is the leader at 12 under par. Tiger Woods, 5 shots back at 7 under.
Domino's loves you so much that they're offering 50%.